Hello and welcome to the episode 48 of What a Fab Day. I am your host, Simon Mas. Today's highlights include a well-paid gig, a second appearance on a top TV program, and a seminal release. On the 17th of February 1961, the Beatles, featuring Pete Best on drums, performed at the St. John's Hall in Liverpool, thanks to the help of Mona Best, mother of Pete and owner of the Casbah Coffee Club. Mrs. Best was in charge of some of the dances at the venue and booked his son's band for the night. For their musical services, the lads received their highest payment so far, a whopping £20, about £450 in 2020 money. Please notice that this St. John's Hall should not be confused with the one featured in episode 6 of What a Fab Day, that one being in Bootle. In 1962, the Beatles, still with Pete Best on drums, performed an evening concert at the Cavern Club in Liverpool, sharing the stage with Cyril Preston's Excelsior Jazz Band and the Zenith 6 Jazz Band. This second group was from Manchester, and just like the Beatles, they were quite chatty and fun between numbers to the point that some people today still recall them. Captivating an audience goes a long way to make yourself remembered. Moving to 1963, we find the soon-to-be Fab Four spending the day at the Teddington Studio Centre in Teddington to record their second appearance on ABC Television's Thank You Lucky Stars, the most influential pop music show of the era on British TV. The rehearsals took place at 11 a.m, with the band miming their performance of Please Please Me later in the afternoon. The show was aired on the 23rd of February across most of the United Kingdom between 5:50 and 6:30 p.m, and so the Beatles featured as third of a seven-act bill, topped by fellow Liverpoolian Billy Fury. Fun fact, the Silver Beatles had auditioned to become the backup band of Billy Fury on the 10th of May 1960, as we will see in episode 130 of this podcast. In 1964, the Beatles enjoyed a day off after their second live appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show. Naturally, they would have enjoyed it much more if they had been able to go out and be normal tourists, but trying water skiing and chilling inside the Deauville Hotel in Miami, Florida must have been nice enough. During the day, the lads met another band, the BG Ramblers from Toledo, Ohio. On the 17th of February 1965, the Beatles spent their third straight day at Studio 2 of the EMI Studios in Abbey Road. The Fabs kept busy recording another two songs, serving for both their new album and the soundtrack of their still titleless second feature film. After Another Girl and I Need You, the band completed The Night Before in two takes between 2 and 7 p.m., and You Like Me Too Much in eight takes between 7 and 11 p.m. You Like Me Too Much was later moved to the non-film side of the forthcoming album. Moving to 1967, we find two events worth mentioning. First of all, the double A-side single Penny Lane's Strawberry Fields Forever came out in UK. It was the Beatles' most ambitious single to date, and it was heralded as a major advancement for the band and for Western pop music as a whole. And yet, it failed reaching the number one spot on the sales chart, losing the top spot to Engelbert Humperdinck's Release Me. This event, the first time a Beatles single didn't reach the number one position since Love Me Do in 1962, is easily explained. Most chart compilers counted each side as an individual single, while the two, together, outsold Release Me by an ample margin. The Penny Lane Strawberry Fields Forever single had an additional peculiarity. It was issued with a picture sleeve, something really unusual at the time. The only other UK single release from the Beatles sporting a picture on the sleeve in the life of the band was Let It Be. But enough with the record collector talk. Let's turn our attention to the Beatles' 7 p.m. to 3 a.m. session at the EMI Studios. They worked on Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite, a song whose lyrics came almost verbatim from a poster advertising a circus show in Rochdale, Lancashire, in February 1843. John Lennon had acquired the poster from an antique shop during a break from the shooting of the promotional video for Strawberry Fields Forever, as detailed in episode 31 of What a Fab Day. The work started with some rehearsals, recorded and then erased as the session progressed, although a bit of the recording survives to this day at the end of the tape. In the end, 7 takes were recorded, with Ringo on drums, Paul on bass, George on tambourine, John singing guide vocals and George Martin on the harmonium. Take 7, available on Anthology 2, was then reduced into Take 8. John overdubbed his proper lead vocal part onto it, and it was all reduced into Take 9. Then, John doubled his vocal track, and the session came to an end with the production of a rough mono mix. Finally, in 1970, there was another session for Ringo Starr's Sentimental Journey at the EMI Studios between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. A 15-piece orchestra conducted by Francis Shaw was overdubbed on I'm a Fool to Care and Love is a Many Splendored Thing. This concludes another episode of What a Fab Day. If you like this podcast, please make a difference. Visit www.simonmas.com/support and find out how you can help me out. No donation is too small, and you can also be the hero of the day, bringing the podcast to the attention of your friends or leaving me a comment. For the moment, I wish you a good day and a fab continuation. Simon Mas, music you love.